this entire process for me from a contractual standpoint has been framed by the franchise tag rules. It hasn't really been framed by my market value.
This week we're joined by Washington Redskins quarterback Kirk Cousins, who on Friday signed his franchise tender, which means he now could be in play for a trade if Washington wanted to trade him. But Cousins addressed the recent conversations he's had with Redskins owner Daniel Snyder, as well as a number of other topics. And the irony of all ironies is that on the day that he signed his $24 million tender on Friday, it also happened to be the same day that the Cleveland Browns released RG3, the quarterback that once was drafted in the same draft class as Kirk Cousins, but started ahead of him in Washington until the Redskins moved on from him. Today, Kirk Cousins. I'm grateful to you taking some time to join us during your busy schedule. I know you said your Monday was packed. What was so busy on a Monday with you today?
You know, I'm going from one physical therapist to a doctor to a chiropractor to a workout, all kinds of stuff. I'm always taking care of my body in the off season because during the season, that's what gets neglected as you go through all the film prep and practices.
So, it makes that much of a difference?
The gains are small, but I hope so. I mean, I want to be playing into my mid and late 30s like those other guys, and they've set the bar so high, so I'm trying to get a jump on it and not let it catch up to me. But I guess check back with me in a decade and we'll see.
Well, why are you limiting yourself to the mid to late 30s, Kirk, when Tom Brady's going in at 40 right now?
I know. It's unbelievable how these guys can last. I don't know. I don't know how they do it.
What the heck is going on with your franchise these days? We got GMs leaving, players going, all sorts of discussions and speculation about your conversations with your – what is going on with your franchise?
You know, I think it's just a part of the off season. You know, when there's no football games to be played, there's a lot of other things that can be talked about, and it opens the door for speculation and just all kinds of different reports. And, you know, it's just part of the deal. So honestly, I'm not there and I don't know the day to day and what's going on. And so I'm pretty ignorant to things and I don't like to talk into too much depth on stuff I'm not fully understanding, but, I do trust the people in charge and believe that at the end of the day, they'll make the right decisions and we'll move forward.
What can you tell us about any conversations that you did have with your owner, Mr. Snyder?
Sure. You know, I've had really positive interactions with Mr. Snyder throughout this entire offseason. You know, the negotiation process in general has been very positive for me, and I'm happy with how things have transpired so far. And you know, as Chris Mortensen reported, I'm not sure how it got out, but I did, you know, just inquire as to Mr. Snyder and to Bruce Allen, just if there was any interest in trading me, just to try to get an understanding of their perspective. And the answer I got back was, you know, Mr. Snyder communicated his belief in me and his desire for me to remain a Redskin and his desire to help me by surrounding, you know, the quarterback position with all the players and coaches that you need to succeed. And you know, that's the kind of message you want to hear from the owner of your team. So it was a very positive conversation in the sense that he spoke belief in me and really affirmed me in my role. And I felt wanted by him and by the team coming away from the call. You know, and then I'm at a shoe store later that day after Chris Mortensen reported that. And the guy fitting my wife her shoes says, I heard you demanded a trade. And I laughed and I thought, I don't know where that comes from because that just wasn't the case. You know, I just called him and asked where their perspective was and where they were coming from. And I just wanted to communicate. And so that's kind of where that went. And then somehow it can get twisted to where an employee at a store is, you know, using the word demand, but that's certainly not the approach that I took.
So at the end of that conversation, Kirk, did you have any doubts that you will or won't be with the Redskins this upcoming season?
Well, I think, you know, you never know in the sense that in this league things change so fast and players can get blindsided all the time with decisions. I mean, they'll cut you on your birthday. They'll cut you on the day your child's born. They'll cut you on Christmas Eve. I mean, you just never know what's going to happen. So I guess I'm always going to keep an open mind, so I try not to get blindsided. But from what I heard in the conversation, I felt very much supported, and I felt that the owner and the president of the team want me to be the quarterback there and want me to be the quarterback there for a long time.
For what it's worth, what was conveyed to me was, we are not trading Kirk Cousins. That was repeated to me over and over. Now, your organization is also smart enough not to let on a sliver of doubt, even if they were entertaining that notion. So I don't think they'd ever say anything. But the feeling that I got talking to them was they had no interest in doing that at that time, even if it might make some sense. So what about your future in Washington? Because this will be, right now, what is scheduled to be your second straight year on a franchise tag. And no quarterback's ever played two straight years on a franchise tag. Do you see yourself in Washington long-term, Kirk?
You know, I see myself keeping an open mind. I see myself, you know, going through this negotiation process as there's still time until the July 15 deadline. You know, and then from there you have a whole 16-game season and hopefully more games than that. And then from there, you know, you can still be tagged again. And this entire process for me from a contractual standpoint has been framed by the franchise tag rules. It hasn't really been framed by my market value. You know, I would be content to go to the market and see what that value is and settle for whatever that is. But because of the franchise tag rules and the team's use of the tag, that just hasn't taken place. So, you know, as a result, my agent and, you know, has had this whole negotiation from the perspective of the franchise tag rules. And until that system of the tag is removed from the equation or removed from the collective bargaining agreement altogether, that's going to frame the entirety of my agent's approach. And, you know, we'll just keep going. And people I've heard say, you know, there's no chance they franchise tag him or even transition tag him the following season. And I chuckle because if a team has franchise tagged me for 2 years in a row, it's because they expect me to play at a high level. And I think if we play at a very, very high level, and the goal for every team in this league is to win a Super Bowl, and if we go win a Super Bowl next year, I'm pretty confident they're going to be tagging me and bringing me back. So I guess I say to people, you know, I guess if the season's going to go the way everyone wants it to and in hopes it will in Washington, then let's hope I'm getting tagged again. So, you know, there's still more of this story to write over time, and that's what the season's all about. We got to play 16 more games.
We've had a lot of fun with this story, tracking the story through the years. But what went into your decision to sign the franchise tender on Friday, Kirk?
You know, we had talked back and forth about it as to, you know, when do you sign it or why do you sign it at a certain time. But I just felt like, you know, I got nothing to hide in the sense that I want to practice. I want to keep getting better. Those practice reps are very valuable. I want to be there for every practice in OTAs and in mini camp and training camp. And I don't take those days lightly. And, you know, it's something that doesn't change my approach. You know, whether I've always said the franchise tag is my friend. I'm not afraid of it. So, you know, we discussed our options for a few days, but then was comfortable signing it on Friday or whenever the day was that we decided to pull the trigger.
You know, I don't know how much you follow this, and we're talking about the uncertainty surrounding your future, although Washington has indicated to you they want you back. You'd like to be back if you could be back on a fair deal. But today when Terrell Pryor was introduced as the Redskins' new wide receiver, they asked him at the outset of that press conference what attracted him to the Redskins. And I'm going to quote you his words exactly, Kurt. He said, "I like the supporting cast that they had, I mean, along with Kirk Cousins being the quarterback still, assuming that he's going to be there." And then they went on to ask him about that, if he was expecting him to be there. He said, "I would assume. I saw he signed and stuff like that. But at the end of the day, I signed to be a Washington Redskin. It doesn't matter who the quarterback is, but I'm assuming I'd love the opportunity to play with Kirk." So it sounds like nobody knows for sure, other than the Redskins brass, that you're going to be there for sure, and there continue to be questions, even from players like Terrell Pryor.
Sure, I mean, that's the structure of the NFL is, you know, the decision makers get to make the decisions. Fortunately enough, I was, a contract was brought before me, and I signed it, and, you know, if I'm back, I'm going to be excited about that. I will look forward to that, so we'll see what decisions the team wants to make, but I want to play with a guy like Terrell Pryor. I mean, I thought that was a very great acquisition, a player that will help us a lot on offense, and I'm excited about the players we have on offense. You know, the offensive line has played very well now for a couple of years, and we got some really good players and some up-and-coming young players and some receivers we can throw the ball to, some tight ends, some running backs. I think there's a lot of pieces in place. I'm excited.
You lose DeSean Jackson to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. You lose Pierre Garçon to the San Francisco 49ers. Who this year do you expect to step up and become a real force on this offense right now?
That's a great question. I think it's a combination of guys. Certainly Jordan Reed is always going to be, you know, one of our best players on the football field, period. Vernon Davis, I expect to continue to play at a high level. He was a big help to us, especially when Jordan was out for a few games. And Jamison Crowder, I think, is going to get an expanded role. He's always played at a high level, but with Pierre and DeSean, you know, also being talented players, it was hard to fit all those guys on the field on every snap. So I expect Jamison to be out there more. which could be a great positive for our offense. I think Josh Doctson will be healthy and ready to go, and I think he's got a lot to show and a lot of talent there to be used. And then obviously Terrell will make a big difference, and we'll get him involved from the start. And then, you know, the offensive line is talented. I mean, Trent Williams, Brandon Sheriff, Morgan Moses, Spencer Long, Sean LaValle, and Ty Nsekhe, you know, as a swing tackle who's very talented and could probably start a tackle for a lot of teams in this league. And then we've got three really good running backs that we leaned on a lot last year in Rob Kelly, Chris Thompson, and Matt Jones. So looking at this system from a quarterback's perspective, you know, the pass game weapons and our ability to protect, I feel very comfortable with the guys that we got.
How much do you lose by losing Sean McVay to the Los Angeles Rams?
You know, it's going to be a change in the sense that you got a new play caller, a new offensive coordinator, but it's a lot of the same people. You know, the terminology is going to stay the same. Coach Kavanaugh has been the quarterback coach and been in those meetings with me for two seasons now, and so that helps the transition. And he understands me. He understands how I think. Same with Coach Gruden. You know, he understands me well, and he's now been with me for three seasons. So I think Coach Gruden made a smart move to bring Coach Kavanaugh up as the offensive coordinator. And, you know, it's a good sign of the team when you see whether it's Pierre and Deshaun and free agents like that moving on and getting paid well, or whether you see Sean McVay going to get a head coaching job. I think that means good things are happening in Washington.
Yeah.
And when people are pulling your talent and paying them a lot of money, that means you're developing your talent well and you're doing some good things.
Kirk, Sean seems like such a total stud. But at the age of 32, you know him as well as anybody. How is he going to fare as the head coach of the Rams?
Well, he's wired to, you know, to be a leader, a dynamic leader. He's great with people, got a lot of energy, very intelligent. There's just a lot of capacity there to grow as a coach and a person. And I think he's going to handle it well. You know, is it a little bit more challenging having it be the first time you're a head coach? Sure, and being in his early 30s. But it was only a matter of time before he had that opportunity, and I credit the Rams for seeing a lot of potential in him and giving him that opportunity. I think he's going to prove him right.
Your other former offensive coordinator, Kyle Shanahan, becomes the head coach of the 49ers. How is he going to fare as a head coach?
Well, I think time will tell, but you know, he certainly has done a great job the last few years in Atlanta. Had one of the best offenses in football last year with a lot of talented players, and you know, he's already started to you know, get the guys he wants, like a Pierre Garçon. And you know, time will tell. It's such a competitive league, and there's such a small margin for error, and you know, there's so many decisions that can end up having such a large impact on the outcome of the season and the outcome of a career. So time will tell, and that's what makes the NFL so fun to follow and so exciting, I think, for the fans to watch.
You're listening to the Know Them From Adam podcast. We'll be back with more from Kirk Cousins in a moment. Today's Know Them From Adam is brought to you by Blue Apron. Blue Apron is the number one fresh ingredient and recipe delivery service in the country. Blue Apron's mission is to make incredible home cooking accessible to everyone. Blue Apron achieves this by supporting a more sustainable food system, setting the highest standards for ingredients, and building a community of home chefs. For less than $10 per person per meal, Blue Apron delivers seasonal recipes along with pre-portioned ingredients to make delicious home-cooked meals. Choose from a variety of new recipes each week or let Blue Apron's culinary team surprise you. Recipes are not repeated within a year, so you'll never get bored. Customize your recipes each week based on your preferences. Blue Apron has several delivery options, so you can choose what fits your needs. And there's no weekly commitment, so you only get deliveries when you want them. Each meal comes with a step-by-step, easy-to-follow recipe card and pre-portioned ingredients and can be prepared in 40 minutes or less. Blue Apron's freshness guarantee promises that every ingredient in your delivery arrives ready to cook, or they'll make it right. Check out this week's menu and get your first three meals free with free shipping by going to blueapron.com/AS. You will love how good it feels and tastes to create incredible home-cooked meals with Blue Apron, so don't wait. That's blueapron.com/AS. Blue Apron, a better way to cook. Kirk, when you look around the league, is there a quarterback that you watch and marvel at all?
Yeah, there's a few of them. I mean, I was at the Pro Bowl with Dak Prescott and Drew Brees, and you know, those are the NFC guys who I was practicing with every day, and certainly was impressed with both of them, and obviously especially Drew late in his career on his way to the Hall of Fame, and just, you know, his knowledge, his approach. But then you think of guys like Aaron Rodgers, what he did in the playoffs this year, some of the throws he made, his athleticism, the way he can hurt you with his arm and with his legs, his ability to play off schedule and create. just so much talent. And then Tom Brady, you know, just all that he's done. I mean, wins after wins after wins, you know, in tough environments, the competitor that he is, the way he's taking care of himself and is going to play well into his 40s. These guys are setting the bar really high for those of us coming after him. And we're trying to, you know, to get to that level. And that's the quest that I'm on. It's kind of a never-ending deal. You wake up every morning feeling like you got somewhere to get to and that you're not there yet. I'm chasing that until the day they tell me I can no longer play.
What inspires you like that every morning? What gives you that feeling?
Well, I'm a guy that doesn't like being in second, doesn't like feeling like there's someone ahead of him, and there certainly are a few ahead of me right now. And, you know, until I feel like, you know, I'm in their league or have reached that level, there's more to go. And whether it's taking care of my body in the off season with eating right and going to see the right doctors and the right trainers and taking care of myself to, you know, the way you watch film and prepare for games and bring along teammates and lead others. So there's so many variables that go into playing quarterback. And I think that's what makes the position such a great position and such a challenging one. And I love that challenge. And it takes a great deal of focus on my part year round to be ready to go and have a positive season each and every year.
Kirk, it seems like each player during the offseason always wants to work on one thing, and I've already heard you talk about the fact that you're having your body worked on with all these therapists and masseuses and everything that you're doing. Is there one thing that you are trying to accomplish this offseason that is different than other offseasons?
That's a great question. You know, my diet is something that I've always, you know, tried to be disciplined about, but there were way too many cheat days involved. And you know, while I get gotten educated on the right things to eat and the wrong things to eat, partly because of watching a guy like Tom Brady and the discipline he's had and the information he shared about how he takes care of himself, I got a little, you know, shot in the arm this year to be a little more motivated. And so everything from getting a blood test to find out the foods I'm allergic to you know, talking about maybe getting a private chef to cook for me and my family. So there's just some steps I'm trying to take to be even that much more disciplined with my food and try to eliminate those cheat days as much as possible. And, you know, as Sean Laval always says in the locker room, it's not a hobby. You know, this is our jobs and this is what it's about. And we got to be professionals day in and day out. And I think for me to take another step would be to really monitor, you know, the foods I'm putting in my body and how I'm taking care of myself. And if that makes me feel that much better on game day and helps me play one or two more years, then it's well worth it.
As a general rule, a player who is franchised for a second time in a row can afford a personal chef.
Well, that's the benefit of the whole deal is now I can invest more in myself and in my career and hopefully see a return on investment. But that's the exciting part is, you know, there really are no limitations now on what I can do to make myself a better football player. And no excuses, I guess I'll put it that way. So opens up a lot of possibilities, and I'm trying to find every possible advantage I can get when it comes to competing against the rest of this league.
I guess you never thought of broiled salmon and spaghetti squash as return on investment, right?
Hey, it's a lot better than having McDonald's every day. So that's how I see it. And hey, I don't have to look any farther than the Drew Breeses and the Tom Bradys who have done it now for many years and are feeling good, you know, feel close to 40. They feel really good. And talking to Drew at the Pro Bowl, he said that, you know, the surgery he had on his shoulder back in 2005, 2006, that he feels now as if it never happened, as if that injury and that surgery never happened. That's how good he feels. And that's what you want to hear, and that's where you want to get to. So I'm on that quest and hopefully going to be saying the same things when I'm his age.
So, Kirk, let's have a little fun for a moment. What is a Kirk Cousins cheat day when the diet goes out the window? What is on that cheat day?
That's funny. Yeah, my family calls that Naughty Kirk when I go out and get some fast food. And I'm a sucker for any fast food. I mean, it could be
really?
Taco Bell, Chick-fil-A, Little Caesars, you name it. I'm going to enjoy it. But I see these ads now for the triple Big Mac at McDonald's and for the double Crunchwrap Supreme at Taco Bell. And just as I'm trying to be more disciplined, I get smothered with these ads. And now I'm just, you know, somebody's got something against me because it's just like Temptation Island everywhere I go.
Honest. How strong is the temptation?
Oh, it's strong, but you know what I've learned is that it's a habit. So the longer I eat healthy, the more days that I allow to be eating the right things, the harder it is to quit, the harder it is to go, or the easier it is to stay, you know, eating the right things. So it's a habit. I'm just trying to create that habit day in and day out and hopefully get to a point where when I see a cheeseburger or a slice of pizza, it doesn't even look appealing to me, but I'm a long ways from those days.
Now, your wife, Julie, is expecting, right?
She is.
So she must have some things that she wants to go eat, some hankerings.
Oh, yeah.
Well, so what is she craving? Craving was the word I was looking for.
You know, the craving she had yesterday was Jimmy John's, and so we drove to Jimmy John's, and I got the unwich where you wrap it in lettuce, and that was pretty good. So still able to eat healthy on the go, but she definitely has her cravings from time to time, and you know, I'm happy to oblige, but I've got to stay disciplined and not give in.
Well, hopefully she has a craving for a triple Big Mac coming up here sometime in the near future.
No, we got to keep her up. We got to keep her away from that stuff for the baby's sake and for my sake.
Now, you're about to become a dad. What is the greatest lesson you learned from your dad, who's a preacher or a pastor, I should say?
Sure. I was so fortunate to be raised by the parents that I had. And you know, my dad is someone who continues to speak into my life and provide wisdom and counsel just about every day of the year. So the advice he gave me growing up, much of it came from the Bible and Proverbs 3:5-6, which says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your steps. That was my dad's life verse. That's become my life verse. And my football career has been a great testament to the truth of that verse and how the Lord is faithful and has a plan. So I continue to hold to that through all these one-year contracts and not knowing what's next. I just trust the Lord's plan for my life, and he hasn't failed me yet.
And what did you take from him that you're going to be instilling in your child?
Well, I think all the same things. I think the importance of God's word, the importance of the Bible, and raising your children to love God's word and to apply it every day in life and to understand that it's not just an old book that sits on a shelf and should gather dust. It's something that should be living and active in all of our lives and have an impact on our everyday lives. So that's what I'll try to pass on. And the key is that it hopefully can be caught, not just taught, and that my child will see it lived out every day in my life. And so seeing that, we'll be able to live it out as well.
When is your wife due?
My wife's due week two. So that's not the ideal time in the middle of September, but we're going to find a way to make it work. And she's already been very understanding. She's been a phenomenal football wife, I'll put it that way. She loves following the games and the team and loves the guys in the team. And she said already, hey, if it conflicts with the game, then it conflicts with the game. That's okay. You go play the game and you'll get there when you get there. So she's very understanding, but I don't know how I want to handle it. I certainly want to be there for the birth of my first child. So we'll see what happens as it gets closer.
Yeah. Wow. So how would you handle that? Wow. I mean, that's amazing to think about that she's doing week two. Here's what I would do if I were you, Kirk. I would call the NFL schedule maker, Howard Katz. And I would say, Howard, I need a favor. I need you to put the Redskins at home for the first 2 weeks of the season. And then, of course, even with the uncertainty, you might want to say there's some other teams, if you could schedule them at home, but eventually someone's going to have to play on the road here. How do you approach this?
Well, I think we're going to take it as it comes. You know, it's part of the deal of playing the NFL. You kind of expect this. The season's half of the year, so you're bound eventually to have a kid, you know, happen during the season. So I've had some teammates who have gone through with this, and whether, you know, it was inducing the delivery or just being fortunate, they've been able to find a way around the game. And, you know, we'll see. We'll keep our fingers crossed and see what happens. But there's no doubt that we'll be looking at the schedule the first few weeks of the season to see where we are. Hopefully it's a home game, and if it's an away game, hopefully it's somewhere like Philadelphia or New York. It's not too far away.
I didn't even think of that. The NFC East, there are a lot of close games, so that does work to your advantage.
That's right. We got some chances here that it could work out. So we'll see as we get closer. But we're excited, and ultimately we're just thrilled that there's a new life on the way.
Kirk, what's the best and worst part about playing in Washington?
The best and worst part about playing in Washington. Well, the best part has to be that it's one of the top fan bases, one of the top teams, organizations in the history of the NFL. I mean, we go way back to the 1930s. Some of the greatest players to ever play have played for the Washington Redskins, 3 Super Bowls. Just an iconic team, an iconic brand, an iconic fan base. And I think that's what sets it apart. And I think the bar has been set very high that if I ever do play somewhere else, you know, if it wasn't for one of those top teams, it would be a letdown, because I've gotten used to a nationwide, worldwide fan base in the Washington Redskins. The worst part, I tell people that living in D.C., I really only have 2 complaints. It's the traffic and the cost of living.
Yeah.
And I say, but that goes along with it being a good place to live. You know, if it's expensive, that means there's a lot of people who want to live there. And if there's traffic, that means there's a lot of people who are living there. So I say you take the good with the bad. And if you pick a spot that's a pretty good place to live, then you're going to have traffic and cost of living. But those are probably the two factors that you say, you know, if it could be different, I'd love for it to be a little cheaper and a little less crowded.
A little different than Holland, Michigan.
That's exactly right. I got spoiled living in Holland, Michigan. We never plan our days around traffic. There's just not going to be any. So, you know, that was something new living in Washington, D.C. We don't know what gridlock is in West Michigan. And cost of living is not that high in West Michigan either. So those are the benefits, I guess. But like I said, I'm now in a very unique city with a lot of history and a lot of cool opportunities. And I'll take the good with the bad.
Last thing before I let you go, Kirk. Michigan State plays Miami this week. Michigan plays Oklahoma State. Which Michigan school is going further in the tournament this week?
Oh, man. You know what I got to say. Even though I believe Michigan just won the Big Ten tournament and they're hot right now, Michigan State, a 9 seed. I think they can get past Miami, and then I think they got to play a number 1 seed right after that. So they've got a tough draw, but I believe in the Spartans. Many times Coach Izzo has been able to bring them farther than people thought, especially when they were counted out. So I believe the Spartans are going to do it this year and get past the first round and maybe create one of the bigger upsets in the tournament. Wow. And beat a number 1 seed and then get to the Sweet 16. And if they can get there, I count this season a smashing success.
There
so we'll
go.
See what happens. I don't know who the U of M has the first couple rounds, but they're hot right now and they may get to the Sweet 16 as well. We'll see.
Did you get to know Coach Izzo at all while you were in East Lansing?
I did get to know him. You know, Coach Izzo has a really good relationship with the football program. He's always believed that having a good football team helps him in recruiting and helps the athletic department as a whole, you know, specifically his basketball program. So he's been very supportive of football. He always brings recruits around the football program. He preaches toughness. He loves the game of football. So it was a great thing to have a coach who was that iconic on your campus to be so supportive of our team. And I think his support was a big reason why we were able to really build a great program that became among the nation's elite. And he and Coach D'Antonio have a great relationship, which is a really underrated aspect of the athletic department there. And, you know, I'm excited about the two of them continuing to have some great years ahead.
I have to say, just listening to you right now for the last 25 or so minutes, when you came in there, Mike Shanahan raved to me about the kind of quarterback and person you were. From the day you walked in that building, he recognized that he had a difference maker and someone special. And I think all the things that he talked about have been on display in this conversation. I think it's very easy for anybody who listens to you and all your answers and the way you handle all these issues, they would understand why Mike Shanahan and the rest of that organization had so much respect for you from the day you came in. So I want to tip my cap to you just like that, just at the end of this. And I really
appreciate that, Adam. I appreciate that. The feelings are mutual. I think you do a great job with your approach and you handle your job in a classy way. So I appreciate you having me on. And, yeah, thrilled for the opportunity to play in the NFL. It's a dream come true. And as we've talked about, I'm trying to make this last as long as I can.
Kirk, good luck to you. Good luck to Julie. Thank you for taking the time today. Let's get this baby born on a weekday, not a weekend.
Amen.
And I thank you for everything today. Thanks for taking the time.
Okay, thanks, Adam. We'll talk to you later.